Did you hear the one about the mortgage broker who always ate lunch alone? Yep, turns out he was a loner. Hi, I'm Rob West. All right, a bit of levity to start the program today, but you know what's serious business? Buying or selling a home. Are spring and summer still prime seasons to jump into the market? Dale Vermillion joins us for the insights on today's real estate and mortgage trends. Then we have lots of great listener questions ahead, but we won't be taking your live calls today because this program is pre-recorded. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, our guest Dale Vermillion is a great friend. He's an expert on all things real estate and the author of Navigating the Mortgage Maze, The Simple Truth About Financing Your Home. Dale, great to have you with us.
Rob, always great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Dale, spring and summer have long been considered peak seasons for buying and selling homes. Is that still the case here in 2025?
You know, it is. Seasonality isn't anything like it used to be. It used to be in the wintertime we had very low numbers, but that's not the case anymore because so many people buy online nowadays. But it is still a peak season because I think the spring just brings people out to want to have new things and settle in new places and move places. So there is lots of activity right now.
Yeah. Also, they want to get in place before the next school year starts up, right?
That's exactly right. And we're seeing right now an interesting market. Listings are up over 700,000, which is the highest we've seen in a long time. That's 33% more homes than last year that are available. We're seeing a lot of new home sales, about 76,000 new home sales just in the last 30 days that are getting ready to close. So that's good news. The bottom line is there is a great time to buy right now because there's more inventory, but there's less buyer competition because we're seeing a lot of people come out to sell, but we're not seeing so many come out to buy. So if you're looking to buy a home, this might well be the best time since 2021.
Yeah, a buyer's market. Interesting. Well, sales, of course, no longer come as effortlessly as they did in recent years. So how can sellers then rise above the noise, Dale, and stand out in today's market?
Yeah, a couple things. You got to price right from day one. That's absolutely critical. Now, that's always, you know, hard to know what that number's going to be, but you can do an appraisal to know what your home's worth. You can look, of course, at listings to see what the market's doing. You want to get an experienced local agent that knows what they're doing, that can help guide you through that process. We always recommend that. And make sure that you've got the home sale ready. That's key, particularly nowadays because so many people are going online. They're doing those 360 views on camera. You want to make sure that everything is bright and light and clean and organized and you're getting rid of any excess things you need to have. Curb appeal on the outside, very, very important. You just need to make sure that you get the house ready for selling and make it look as good as it's ever looked.
Yeah, that's really helpful. All right, let's talk about the other side of the transactions. How do buyers prepare for this season?
Well, first and foremost, what you need to understand about being a buyer is when you go to get quote-unquote pre-qualified, you don't want to get pre-qualified because a lot of times pre-qualification means that they're going to tell you what they believe you qualify for without verifying all of your information. You want to get what's called a pre-approval. This is something that's going to put you in a better position with both the sellers and with the agents. A pre-approval is where you complete your entire application, you provide all of your income documentation, your credit, and your verifications of all of your down payment money. And then remember, and this is always critical, we talk about this all the time, be budget-minded. Don't just ask them, what do you qualify for? They're going to qualify you on a debt-to-income ratio. You may not be able to afford that payment. Do a budget. Determine what you can afford comfortably. Make sure that you don't make an emotional decision. Make a logical decision and be in prayer. Take this to the Lord and make sure that you feel good about the decision.
That's great advice. Just about a minute left, Dale. Obviously, the question everybody's been waiting on, will this be the year mortgage rates drop? Assuming they've been waiting for that, what do you think?
We don't expect to see a whole lot of change in the mortgage rates. Now, the Fed rate's going to go down because there's a lot of pressure there. We expect already to see three drops this year. But remember, that affects more credit cards, short-term loans, auto loans, personal loans, those kind of things. What drives the mortgage market is the 10-year Treasury note, the bond market. You've got to look at that. So if you watch the trends there, you're going to see what rates are doing, and those won't change till inflation gets better. As inflation improves, rates will improve also.
So if rates aren't coming down anytime soon, this may be the time, if you're a buyer with more listings on the market, for you to go ahead. Just make sure you check that budget, only buy what you can afford, and trust the Lord. Dale, we appreciate your time, my friend.
Always great to be here. God bless, my friend.
That's Dale Vermillion, author of Navigating the Mortgage Maze. Stick around.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word.
Have you ever felt alone? Maybe you faced rejection or a season of grief. The Apostle Paul knew those feelings well. His final days were in prison, abandoned by many of his friends, but even then, Paul knew he wasn't truly alone. The Lord stood by him. Paul wrote with confidence in 2 Timothy 4:18, "The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom." Paul trusted in God's promise that he would be delivered from danger in this life and ultimately ushered into life eternal. And the same can be true for you and me when we trust in the one friend who will never desert us, the Lord Jesus Christ. Try out Anchor Devotional today. Visit getanchor.com.
Are you a financial professional looking to grow your practice while offering advice that aligns with your Christian values? By becoming a certified Kingdom Advisor, you'll gain the biblical wisdom and professional credibility to serve clients who are seeking faith-based financial guidance. Each year, more than 75,000 people search for a certified Kingdom Advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Start your journey today by going to kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
The term providence means God's superintending care over his creation.
America's Providential History with Stephen McDowell.
God is at work performing his will in history. And so through this podcast, we're going to be taking a look at the providence of God in the history, and in particular in the history of America.
America's Providential History, available now on the podcast page at AFR.net.
We are grateful for support from Crossmark Global Investments. They are a faith-based firm with a goal of offering values-based investments to help align financial choices and faith, ensuring a portfolio that reflects what matters most. Crossmark does this through investment solutions that span the capital market spectrum, from large cap to small cap strategies, including equity, fixed income, and balanced strategies. They are led by industry veteran Bob Dahl, CFA, a regular guest on the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at crossmarkglobal.com.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Our team is not here today, so let me just remind you not to call in, but I will also remind you that we have some great questions that we lined up in advance, so you're not going to want to miss today's broadcast. By the way, if you appreciate the program, you want to help us reach more people, or maybe you've been able to apply something you've heard, and you'd like to support our work, becoming a Faith5 partner would do that. Those are folks that support us at $35 a month or more, and we, as a way of saying thanks, will send you each issue of Faithful Steward, our quarterly magazine full of incredible, thoughtful, theologically sound articles to help you be a faithful steward. We'll also send you pre-release copies of all of our studies and devotionals. And if you'd like to become a partner, we'd be grateful. Just head to faithfi.com, click give at the top of the page, and you'll find all the details. We'll begin today in Georgia. Howard, go ahead, sir.
Yes, Rob, it's good to talk to you. And
thank you.
Just need a little help.
All right.
We have a CD that is to be renewed, and we have a loan that is due to be renewed. It's a home loan. It's not a mortgage. We borrowed against the CD, It was a $300,000 CD. We borrowed against our own money to build our home. The CD, I don't know if that's a good idea or not, but we did it. As I say, the CD is up for renewal. It's a $220,000 CD. It only gaining 0.6% interest. And then the loan, to renew the loan, it was at 2.9% interest, but they say it's going to 4.4 to 6% interest when we renew it. My question is, should we take that money and just go ahead and pay off the loan completely and be done with it? Or maybe should we take half of the money in the CD, put it towards the loan? I think it would reduce it down to about 7 or 8 years. Or, you know, or should we just, I just don't see renewing it at that, the interest rates being so different.
Yeah. So let me just make sure I understand, because you can borrow against a certificate of deposit. It's a pretty straightforward process where the CD is collateral for the loan. So it's like a secured personal loan, which would be typically where we see this. But you're saying that the home is also collateral for it. Is that right?
No, just no, sir. What you said, the first one is correct.
Okay.
We use the CD as collateral for the home loan.
Okay, got it. All right. So it's not the home is not the collateral for the loan at all. You took a loan against the CD with the CD being collateral, and then you borrowed that money to build the home from scratch. Is that right?
Yes, sir. That's correct.
Okay. Got it. All right. So now what's currently the situation? How much do you owe on the loan?
We owe $214,000.
Okay. And the CD is coming due, so they're going to make you essentially re-up for this. And what are the terms on the new loan?
All right. The new, it would just, everything would just re-up on the certificate. And the loan would be renewed, but the interest rate would go from a 2.9% to a 4 to 6% interest rate.
Yeah. And what are they paying you on the new CD?
No, the same. It wouldn't go up. It'd still be 0.6%.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Very good. Yeah. And so I think the question is, would you be better served at this point, to put a new mortgage in place, essentially cashing out through the new mortgage, allowing you to pay off the existing mortgage. Is there a balloon on this that's tied to the maturation of the CD?
No, sir. Not that I'm aware of. I'm pretty sure there's not. No, sir.
Okay. All right. Because right now, 30-year interest rates, if you were to go out and get a new mortgage to basically pay off the existing loan that's collateralized by the CD, they're right now, they've been coming down, let's call it, 6.7%. It sounds like that's at the high end of this range, that you would be looking at for the new loan collateralized by the CD. You're only, earning a little bit on it, but, that's beside the point in the sense that, if you were to, pull the new mortgage out, let's say it's at 6.7, you would be able to repurpose that, the CD into something paying much more than that. I mean, you could invest it and take some risk and try to offset the whole thing. The other option would be you just take the CD and pay off the mortgage, or you take the CD and, you earn 4 and, you've got the spread between the two. Have you thought about just paying off the mortgage with the proceeds of the CD rather than getting a new mortgage?
Yes, that's what I'm thinking, because we pay $1,500 a month payment, and that would free up $1,500 to put it back into and start growing and building.
I like that a lot.
And then the house would be totally paid for.
Exactly. I think that's the way to go. I mean, that's a guaranteed a return equal to that interest rate. You're not going to get that anywhere else. As long as you've got enough in the way of liquid assets elsewhere, You know, this isn't doing you any good earning, you know, less than 1% when you're, going to have to turn around and pay not 2.9%, but, you know, possibly as much as 6%. If you went out and just got a mortgage, like I say, you'd pay 6.7% today, maybe 6.25% if you got a 15-year. But why not just, you know, get rid of that mortgage? Now you're not paying anything. And like you said, you could take that $1,500 a month and just, you know, start systematically investing it or something like that. I think that's the way to go.
Okay. And both my wife and I have 401ks, so okay. I've been putting into it for 17 years. And
awesome.
So, you know, financially, as far as liquidation, I think you're right. And I just needed some verification and that might be the right decision to go.
Do you have what I would call an emergency fund separate from this of savings equal to 3 to 6 months expenses?
Yeah, I'm 62 okay. years old. So my 401k is I don't want to, but and then another savings account and we have another home with an equity of about $160,000 in it.
Nice.
We'll eventually sell it.
Yeah, gotcha. All right, I'm on board, Howard. I like your plan.
All right, I appreciate your advice. Thank you for your program. I listen to it regularly.
Well, great. Well, listen, stay on the line here. I'm going to send you a gift, just something for us to say thank you for being on the program today. And call anytime.
Yes,
God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you.
Let me mention, folks, if you haven't checked out the FaithFi app, we'd love for you to do that. Think about this. Inside the app, there is a community of stewards that are sharing best practices, asking questions, encouraging each other on their stewardship journeys, and there's no cost to participate in that. Also, all of our broadcast archives are there, and we bring together the best content in biblical finance anywhere in our Learn tab. And then you could also use the Money Management, the spending plan portion, if you want. It's based on Larry Burkett's digital envelope system. It's all in the FaithFi app. Go to faithfi.com and click app, and you can download it today. As a reminder, we're not here today, so don't call in, but we'll be back with more questions right after this.
I'll do some stand-up comedy, Abe will do some preaching, Tim will MC the whole thing, and I'm really excited about it. The Weekend with AFA is a chance for our supporters to get better acquainted with the people and ministry you're supporting.
It's a Weekend with AFA, Thursday, October 2nd through Saturday, October 4th in Tupelo, Mississippi. Speakers will include Abraham Hamilton III, Jenna Ellis, Tim Barton, Tim Wildman, and more. Register at afa.net/weekend.
You're young. You don't go to the doctor that often, yet health insurance is still so expensive. If your health insurance costs too much, maybe you should switch to an affordable alternative. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers programs starting under $100 per month. Check off the affordable box on your list and get back to what you really love, running your business or caring for your kids, and have peace of mind while doing it. Visit chministries.org/faithfi to enroll today.
In Denver, Colorado, Jamie Sanchez obeyed the Lord's call and opened the Drip Cafe to create jobs to help unhoused people get back on their feet. Of course, the LGBTQ community began persecuting him for his Christian beliefs. His inspiring story of standing boldly for God's truth in the face of great opposition is part of our Impact Series, and we'll send you the DVD as our thanks for your gift to AFA. Visit afa.net/spiritualwar. afa.net/spiritualwar.
We're grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
I'm Chelsea Wildman, Associate Director of the AFA Foundation. Occasionally, there are those that have a more complicated financial situation. If that's you, we would love to set up a phone consultation with our team and Rob West, host of FaithFi on American Family Radio. We will go over your specific situation. If you are interested, please give us a call, 1-800-326-4543, extension 345, or you can visit us at afafoundation.net.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. For more than 30 years, they've offered financial wisdom for living well. SMI provides step-by-step guidance for do-it-yourself investors, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Well, it's great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance. By the way, if you've not checked out our website recently, we'd love for you to do that. The wealth of content, articles, podcasts, and videos there to help you be a wise and faithful steward of God's money is incredible. You'll find it all at faithfi.com. You can visit that on your smartphone or on your desktop. Again, faithfi.com. Just click the content button. Also, while you're there, check out the FaithFi app that can help you manage God's money and access all of this great content on the go. Just click the app tab. Again, it's all at faithfi.com. All right, back to the phones we go to Florida. And welcome, Vernon. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, my question is about Bitcoin. Is that something that you think that someone should have in their portfolio? I don't necessarily know much about it, so I don't invest in it, especially since I'll be going into retirement soon.
Yeah.
I was just curious about what your thoughts on it.
Yeah, I don't recommend it, Vernon, as an investment. I would put it in the most speculative category, and I think the volatility of Bitcoin and really all the cryptos, even though Bitcoin is kind of the granddaddy of them all, is such that it really is very highly speculative. So for sophisticated investors that have significant assets, you know, under management or advisement, perhaps in that most speculative category, which I would say is 10% or less of the portfolio, that's where it belongs. But again, that's not for the average investor. I'd not even consider it. And again, it's really just largely because it is so volatile and speculative. I mean, we've just seen dramatic increases and declines. And, you know, when you get beyond crypto, or excuse me, when you get beyond Bitcoin, a lot of them have ended up worthless because we've, you know, seen a lot of these just go away. It was kind of like, you know, what we saw 20 years ago when the internet was going mainstream. We saw a lot of those dot-coms just, you know, evaporate. And I think that winnowing process is going to happen with the cryptos as well. There's also, even though President Trump has been more favorable on the cryptos, not a central bank digital currency, but cryptocurrency, that's helped to, you know, take some of the concerns about how governments are going to react to Bitcoin and others. And that's been, you know, threatening to them. But I think there are still some uncertainties as to what place they will have in the larger economy. So I would just say at the end of the day, Vernon, although I don't think cryptocurrency and blockchain is going away, it has far-reaching implications for our economy, and not only the finance industry, but healthcare and others. So that's here to stay. But Bitcoin and other cryptos as an investment, I would just say, is too volatile, too speculative to include in the average portfolio. I hope that helps. Thanks for your call. Let's head to Indiana. Hi, Charles. How can I help?
Hey, Rob. Thank you for taking my call. And
yes, sir.
Your answer is really a godsend. Thank you. What I wanted to know is, okay, thank you. Okay, what I wanted to know is I have two funds that I don't know exactly what to do with them. One is a TSP left over from my last days in the military. When I retired, they had just started the TSP, and it's under $5,000. Another fund is a annuity that I got that when I retired. I changed over to annuity, so I wouldn't have to pay taxes on it. And that annuity is a from New York Life. It's only pay about 2%, and it's around $50,000 in there. But I was wondering if I should change it to a index annuity, or what should I? I don't need the funds from either of these funds. So yeah. I'm wondering, what should I do with it? Should I just let them keep on taking out RMD or?
Yes. Great question. Yeah. So with these, you know, I think the first question, let's tackle the annuity. You know, it really depends on what kind of annuity it is. Do you know if it's a qualified annuity, meaning it's pre-tax dollars?
Yeah, it was put in pre-tax.
Okay. So that would allow you to roll that to an IRA, assuming you've had it long enough where, you know, you understand any kind of penalties or surrender charges that you might have for taking it out of the annuity, because you don't want to leave it there. And I think you've already hit on that. You can do much better than 2%, whether that's repositioning it into another type of annuity or rolling it out. If it's a qualified annuity, then, you know, certainly you could roll that out to an IRA. And that would keep it in that qualified environment. And then you could also roll the TSP into the same IRA, and then you could have it managed there. So everything's kind of in one place, and then you'd pick the investments that are suitable for you based on your age and risk tolerance. So I think that could, you know, serve you well. If you wanted to leave them each in their respective places, I think with the TSP, if you don't need the money, you could put it into, you know, some of the stock funds like the C or the S or even the I. I'd put most of it in the C, and then you could do some in the F, which is the fixed income. And, you know, the stock funds have averaged 7 to 10% a year long term. And then eventually, if you wanted to, you could start to take it out and pay tax on it as you take it out to supplement your income. But I think getting everything in one place and then selecting those investments that are the best fit for you would, you know, remove some of the complexity. You wouldn't be, you know, tied up in an insurance product any longer. But, you know, you could have that working for you and growing. Does that make sense?
Yes, it makes sense. I wanted to ask you, on the high side of 75, so I didn't know I could go into an IRA.
Oh, yeah. So as long as the asset that you're rolling to an IRA is qualified, you can do that rollover. And so that's a non-taxable event. And then you can continue to contribute to an IRA. There's no age limit. You just have to have earned income. So you can't have unearned income like interest or Social Security. You need earned income from your work if you're working part-time or something like that. If you're not working any longer and you don't have earned income, you'd not be able to put new contributions into an IRA, but you can always roll existing qualified money over to an IRA regardless of your age or your income.
Well, thank you. I didn't know that.
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you, and God bless you and the listener.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that, Charles. Lord bless you as well. We'll be right back.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Since 1994, Timothy Plan has shared good news with investors and advisors by offering faith-honoring mutual funds and exchange-traded funds. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners Limited and ETFs distributed by Foreside Fund Services, LLC. Investing involves risks, including possible loss of principal.
Weekday mornings at 8 Central, Pastor Jeff Shreve offers real truth for today.
I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries.
The world around us is rapidly changing, but God and His truth will never change.
I may be the host of the show, but I want God's Word and His truth to be the star of the show.
Join Pastor Jeff Shreve each weekday morning at 8 Central for Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by credit card debt? As followers of Christ, we are called to be good stewards of what God has given us. That's why our trusted partner, Christian Credit Counselors, is here to help. Their debt management program can help you pay off your debt 80% faster while honoring your commitments in full. Take the first step toward financial freedom today. Visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Are you looking for a financial professional who shares your Christian values and offers advice you can trust?
Certified Kingdom Advisors are experienced financial, legal, and accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program rooted in biblical financial wisdom. They meet high standards of integrity, competence, and stewardship, helping you honor God with all He's entrusted to you. To find a certified Kingdom Advisor in your area, visit faithfi.com and click Find a Professional.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net and sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
We're so glad you're along with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Our goal, our hope and prayer for you is that you would see God as your ultimate treasure as we explore God's Word as it relates to money decisions. Let's go Florida next. Angela, how can we help you today?
Yes, hi. Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. Thank you for your ministry.
Thank you.
Sure. This is more of an obedient question, a matter of obedience. Last year, we sold a house, and it is always my intent whenever I get, the Lord blesses me with more than I would normally have, that I would put a tent, whether to the church or to other organizations that I, you know, subscribe to. But we were in a season of traveling, and so I was doing all travel arrangements, and I only gave to one-tenth of what I was supposed to give. And it's when my pastor was talking about stewardship the other day, over the month, I became so convicted. I remembered, my goodness, I did not put the 90%, you know, in the tithe to yes. my church. So in obedience, I wanted to know, according to my financial advisor, why not wait until a CD that is due in July? Why not wait to take it from that, since it's such a lump sum, take it from that, and it would not incur any taxes, as opposed to taking it from our investment account now? What yeah. is your wise advice on that, please?
Yeah. Well, first of all, Angela, let me just say I appreciate the spirit and the heart behind this question, because clearly you want to honor the Lord with every part of your life, and that includes your financial stewardship. And as one piece of your financial stewardship, because I believe the way we handle everything God entrusts to us, whether we're enjoying it by, you know, planning a special time with our family away, or using it to provide for our families, or perhaps helping somebody in need, or supporting the work of the local church, all of that can be done to the glory of God as we surrender to God's purposes and accept our role as a steward. So there's nothing more spiritual about giving money away than there is using it, you know, to enjoy, as long as it's done, I think, in an appropriate way with surrender and in a prayerful attitude. Now, it doesn't mean we should live lavishly and, you know, just have the mindless accumulation of wealth. Don't get me wrong there, but I'm saying, as long as we have the right heart posture, really it all can be done to God's glory, as long as He is our ultimate treasure and money is a tool to accomplish His purposes. Now, clearly we're to be givers as God's people. We see that throughout Scripture, and one place that shows up is in the biblical view of the tithe. We see, you know, 15 particular instances in Scripture, although the word itself is there nearly 50 times. And as we look at that Old Testament use of the tithe, there was actually three different tithes that totaled 23 1/3%. But I love the idea of you taking a portion of your increase, and the word tithe means a tenth, and giving it to the local church. So I think you're right on there. But I think as New Testament believers, those who have seen what Christ did on our behalf on the cross, we shouldn't stop there. Our giving should even be sacrificial, going beyond the proportionate gift. And it should be something that we do as an act of worship. And I think we should do it cheerfully, because God's not an accountant, you know, watching every cent that we give. That's not how we please the Lord. It's all about the why behind the gift. So with that as the backdrop, let me ask or address this specific question that you have. In terms of where to pull it from, I would start with not the counsel that your advisor gave you, although I appreciate it, because part of his or her job is to help you understand how to maximize the resources you have, and the tax implications are one piece of that. But I would start with, what is your conviction as you think about it and pray through it and talk to the Lord about it? If you feel like he's leading you to give that gift right away, then I would do that without consideration of the tax impact. But if you feel like, no, I ultimately want to give it, but this is not about, you know, this happening as soon as possible, and, you know, I have the freedom then to think about the right strategic use of these funds in a way that minimizes a tax liability, there's nothing wrong with that. I just wouldn't go that direction purely for the financial reasons if your heart and your conviction is to do that as soon as possible. Does that make sense, though?
Yes, it certainly does. Yes.
So where would you say you're at in that process?
I think because it is something that I had vowed from before, I always like to do what I say.
Yes.
And when I think, you know, of David and the sacrifice that he had to make, I think when he bought the field from Arun, from that guy, and he said, should I not, you know, make a sacrifice? It's like, you know, he had to make a sacrifice, so he paid for it or something like that.
Yes.
I'm thinking that, you know, it's a sacrifice I want to make. It's not necessarily about, okay, I'm going to save some money. I don't know if it makes sense what I'm saying.
Yes.
You know, it's, you know, that since I made this vow to the Lord, then I want to carry it out as soon as possible. He saw in my heart that I completely forgot that I did not give the, you know, to the church. So I wanted to know whether, you know, I should go ahead and be obedient, do it now, or, you know, wait, which, you know, to save some dollars from taxes, you know.
Yes, ma'am. I think you're talking about the story, Aruna, the Jebusite in 2 Samuel. And I appreciate that conviction, absolutely. And I think if that's the way the Lord is convicting you, as long as you're not doing it out of guilt or feeling like you've displeased the Lord in any way, because I don't believe that's the reality. I mean, I believe your heart is such, just even hearing you describe it, that the Lord is, in my view, pleased with the approach you're taking here, that you want to honor the Lord and you want to honor your vows and your commitments. And I can certainly appreciate that. And so I think if your conviction is such that you need to do this as soon as possible to honor that commitment, then I would carry that out, even if there was a cost to it. And at that point, I would say, okay, let's look at the assets that you have today, and let's decide where the best place is to pull from, even though it may cost you something, versus you waiting and saving and doing it over time where you don't have to liquidate one of these assets. So if you were to do that now, give me a rundown of what the possible assets are that you could tap into.
Oh, my goodness. I can't even begin to tell you them.
Okay.
I could just say that the amount, the total amount is 500,000. So, and it's coming from all different, plans.
Okay.
And
what is the amount you're looking to give right away?
It would be around 9,000, 10,000.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, the tax impact of that is going to be so minimal. So here's what I would do. I would call your advisor back and say, I appreciate your counsel. You're doing exactly what I hired you to do and telling me to wait. My conviction is that I need to do this right now. And so what I'd like for you to tell me is, what is the wisest place to pull $9,000 today, realizing that I understand I will have there will be a tax hit on this. I'm willing to take that. I just need to know the best place to pull that $9,000, and then I'd carry that out. Does that make sense?
Yes. And you know what? As you were talking, I'm thinking that God will always provide.
Yes, He will. Amen to that. God bless you, Angela. We'll be right back.
All right, Sandy Rios with you. One more drama playing out. Is the sky falling? Are we going into recession? Are you going to lose all of your 401k? Are you going to lose your job? Are you going to be able to afford groceries?
People better be training their kids, getting back into church, Sunday school, reading the Bible. That revolution will save this country.
We've had a political revolution. Now we need a spiritual revolution.
Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7. Listen on the podcast page at AFR.net.
Have you added AFR on Roku? With it, you can quickly access AFR programming live.
I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View.
The majority of Americans actually want to live in reality.
As well as podcasts of all your favorite shows.
Hi, this is Sandy Rios, and you're listening to Sandy Rios 24/7.
AFR on Roku is another way to stay informed, equipped, and motivated as we join together to restore godly values in our nation. AFR on Roku. Add it today.
FaithFi is grateful for support from One Ascent. One Ascent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. One Ascent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good, to explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values. More information is available at oneascent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Today, put your heart into something that makes an eternal impact. Heart for Lebanon is sharing the gospel and protecting girls from early marriage, child labor, and violence. Your gift of $114 helps reach 3 at-risk girls with hope and a brighter future. Give generously. Text FAITH to 98656. That's FAITH to 98656. Or visit faithfi.com/Lebanon.
Hey, great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions. Let's head right back to the phones. Cleveland, Ohio. Hi, Gina. Go ahead.
Hi. How are you? It's so great to talk to you guys. Such a knowledgeable station, and I'm so happy that it's Christian Field. Well, I have a question.
Excellent. Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
I wanted to sign up. I went to FaithFi website, and I wanted to sign up for Christian counseling and to help with debt reduction.
Yeah.
And in talking with the person, they asked for my social. And so it kind of threw me off with so many scams going on today. It's hard to know what's real and what's not. And when he asked me for my social, I felt uncomfortable, and I just wanted to hear, is that part of the protocol to get connected with the debt counseling?
Yeah. So were you talking to our friends, Gina, at Christian Credit Counselors? Is that where you went?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not surprised that they're asking for your social. I believe that is required in order to verify accounts and get you into this program. So I can tell you, just based on the fact that we've worked with Christian Credit Counselors for over a decade, and we know all the principals there personally, and they've worked with thousands of our listeners. We've never had a single complaint. This is a trustworthy and reputable ministry that's been serving God's people in this area of debt management for a long, long time, going all the way back to Crown Financial Ministries under Howard Dayton. So I would be very comfortable that if they're asking you for your social and you've initiated that contact directly to either ChristianCreditCounselors.org and you call the toll-free number, that if they're needing your social as a part of the application process, not just an introductory call where you're understanding, but if you're wanting to move forward with the program, I would be comfortable with you giving them your social.
Okay. Okay, that's what I wanted to find out. Because we live in a strange world today.
Well, we do, and it's a good sign, Gina, that your antennas were up on that. That tells me that you're putting some necessary precautions in place, because you're exactly right. The last thing you want to be doing is just giving out your Social Security number to various people, especially with how many fraudsters there are. But when you're with a trusted organization like Christian Credit Counselors, often it is necessary, and they can be trusted. So I would be very comfortable with you proceeding.
Okay. Thank you. Right. Be blessed.
You're welcome. Yeah, you as well. Thanks for your kind remarks about the program. Let's go to Illinois. Hi, Kathleen. Go ahead.
We have an annuity, and we have things that are in Edward Jones. And like the annuity, it's been almost a year. I haven't turned it on because I want to get it out of there because it's only going to be paying 4%. And after I looked at all the fees, I realized that they charged almost as many fees as what we got in the interest on it. And we also have two regular IRAs there. I want to put it into like one IRA at a company, like Schwab. I have an inherited IRA at Schwab, and I was thinking of opening it and then just paying the whatever fees I have to do to monitor it myself, but I don't know if that's a smart thing to do. I have like three different choices of, well, first of all, Edward Jones, I don't like the guy that I have because he did a couple things that were not in our best interest. And even now, his suggestions are not ones that I'm in favor of if I was going to stay with them. And then also, the mutual funds don't have as much of a profit value as the stocks and the bonds, right?
Yeah.
I know they're made up stocks and bonds, but even like if I was going to stay with them, then it's still going to be like we've been there for like over 12 years, and the interest that we've gotten on the other ones has been in anywhere from 5 to 6% lately, and it's probably really down right now. But I mean,
yeah.
Everywhere else, I mean, for that amount of time, we should have had a lot of growth.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that background, Kathleen. Let me say a couple of things about this, but one quick question. What's roughly the total of the investable assets that you have there when you put all the accounts together?
The annuity, I mean, it's almost 200. Oh, yeah, I should explain that in a minute, but it's like that. And then I'm going to say that we probably have around 500,000.
Okay. Yeah.
Great. Maybe 100,000, yeah. Depending on what's going on.
Yeah, sure. And that's obviously a significant sum of money. So here's my thought. I mean, number one, Edward Jones is a great brokerage firm. They are a wonderful institution. They have more certified financial planners than any firm in the industry. They're soon to have, right now, they're the second largest for certified Kingdom advisors. And just based on their growth rate, they'll be the largest of CKAs in the country. So nothing wrong with Edward Jones. Just like any firm in the, up and down Wall Street, you can have an advisor that you work well with, and you might have one that you don't. And they could be at the same firm. So perhaps the next step for you, and again, if you wanted to move to Schwab, to your point, and manage it yourself, you absolutely could. You need to make this call. You're the steward. But I think with that sum of money, my advice would be for you to have an advisor. Now, it may not be the one you have right now because clearly you've lost confidence. It doesn't sound like there's been a lot of great communication. And you should understand exactly how you've done. And if you've underperformed the market, you should understand why. And it sounds like you do not. And so, you know, my recommendation would be, number one, I would love for you to keep an advisor who's overseeing this, but perhaps consider a change. And maybe what you do is look for a certified Kingdom advisor who's also at Edward Jones for you to move the account to. And that way you could stay right there at Edward Jones. You wouldn't need to move out of the firm, but you could change the advisor. And I'd perhaps interview two or three, find the one that you feel like is the best fit. But at the end of the day, with that significant sum of money, I'd rather that money not be on autopilot. I'd rather you be with an advisor you have a good rapport with, who really spends the time to get to know you and or you and your husband, understand where God's taking you, you know, clearly builds an investment strategy that makes sense based on your goals and objectives and keeps you really informed in the process. Does that make sense, though?
And then I've got two other, I've got like Fisher and then another person who uses Schwab, but he's like an independent, and he's wants to only charge me like 75% of a, you know, like 0.75 of a percent.
Right.
And
right.
That's like really good, but he would be, he uses people that, you know, that work at Schwab for his choices. So I don't know to do that. And then like Fisher Investments is higher. And then like at Edward Jones, if I choose them as a fiduciary, then that's going to be, you know, 2 or 3% or something, even if I change. Yeah. And then,
Well, you got a lot of moving parts here. Here's what I would do. I would try to find an advisor that you establish a good rapport with. Yes, you should look at the fees. That's certainly one consideration. It's not everything. There's a lot more to a relationship with an advisor and a fiduciary who's overseeing your investments, providing tax planning advice, perhaps, you know, assisting with financial planning, even helping you align your values as a believer with your investment decisions and your financial planning. So all of that goes together. Yes, you should look at the fees, but I would probably, you know, is it bad to have multiple advisors? No, it just creates more complexity. So if you could find one advisor that you really feel good about, the fees are in line, the performance is there, they're spending the time with you, and preferably they share your values as a Christ follower, that would be the place that I would go next. And perhaps look to consolidate everything under one roof with that trusted advisor that emerges over time. Now, if you want to find a CKA there at Edward Jones, you can go to our website, faithfi.com, and click Find a CKA. But hopefully that gives you some things to think about here, and I'm confident you'll make the right decision. Thanks for your call today. Let's finish in Cleveland, Ohio, WCRF. Carl, go ahead.
Yes, hi. Thank you for your ministry. I received a about, it says, an unclaimed payable on death, which is suggesting that I'm the person that money's going to. I was reluctant about contacting them, wondering if this is a valid thing and didn't know how to approach it. There's various information with claim numbers and they get there.
So is this coming from a law firm or a bank or an executor? Who's named in this?
Coming from a... It says solicitors, the legal department. Yeah.
Okay. So what I would do is, first of all, you could check the probate records, because if this is tied to someone's estate, the probate is a part of the public record. So you could check that. I would absolutely, you know, be suspicious about this, because there's a lot of scammers that use a fake inheritance, to garner personal information from you that they could use to steal your identity. Does it say whose estate it's connected to?
Yes.
And is that a family member of yours?
Well, I haven't been in touch with a lot of my family, and I'm retired myself, but it says that they did a deep search here and found me.
Well, I would use an internet search to search for the sender independently and see if you can verify them. I would reach out and ask for detailed information, proof, without giving your info and no payment for sure. And if you need to, get a local attorney to help you investigate this and dig into it. Don't give any information out until you verify its validity. Thanks for your call. With that, let me say thanks. Thankful for Sandy and Taylor and Devin. Everybody here at FaithFi certainly couldn't do this without them and without each of you listening and calling. So thanks for being a part of the broadcast today. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.